All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. There's a lot of logistics goes into a trip like that. We travel into churches here in the States a lot when we invite people to come along. Like I said, I would invite you to come to Berlin, Germany, but it's already filled up. After that, we're not certain where we're going to go yet, but there's so many invitations, so many places, and I'm sure the Lord will make that evident as time goes by. But I do want to thank you again for your prayers. I want to thank you for the support you've given over the years since right around the year 2000 now, 19, almost 20 years. And we just appreciate that very much. I always say I'm a little spoke in a big wheel. You know, there's a lot of people out there supporting this a lot. We say, well, where do you get all the Bibles and everything from? Well, Bearing Precious Seed has printed. They always tell us, we'll print it if you can get it over there and get it distributed. Then the cost sometimes is 50-50. Sometimes it costs more to get it over there and distributed than it does to produce it. But it's something, you know, we all need our part. We all have our part. And you have your part in praying and supporting that and providing the monies to make it all happen. And I mentioned this morning, I'm so glad I said that we're the part of the world that's giving the Bible, giving the Word of God away. We're not having to receive it. And I mentioned this morning, I said a pastor in Yugoslavia, the first trip I was ever on, and he said, you, because you're giving out the Word of God to us, you have all the blessings. And he said, we who should have had it and should be giving it back to you, he said, we have all the curses because we didn't do that. And that just burned in my soul. And tomorrow is Veterans Day. You know, tomorrow we celebrate the veterans in appreciation and so on and so forth. But listen, every single one of us are soldiers in a war. And I heard a man I don't watch that much television when it comes to a lot of the religious programs and so on. But there was a preacher on, and he was asked a question, and he was a good, solid man. He was asked a question. He said, the question to him was, what do you see as one of the greatest problems that we faced in the Christian world today regarding Christianity and how it is given out to a lost world? And he answered right away. He never hesitated. He said, we've forgotten that we're in a battle. Yeah. We've forgotten. He said, somehow there's a lot of what calls itself Christianity that thinks it's in entertainment. You see people, you know, swaying away on the stage and everything else, and they call it worship, and they have these songs, they have all this, and there's, it's not worship at all. You know what worship is? The definition of worship is extravagant love. That's worship. I can worship my wife. I don't have to come up in the kitchen in the morning and dance around here and go, oh, Tricia, I love you. I worship you. I praise you for your good cooking. You know, how nice you look. I don't do that. Why? That's not worship. Well, I worship her when I'm thankful to her, when I'm grateful to her, when I do things for her, with her. And, you know, when you give your money to support missions and to support God's work, that's worship as well. It's all a part of worship. And we've forgotten some definitions of things that we need to remember. But first of all, and first and foremost, we're in a battle. There is a devil, and he's working day and night, never ceases to try to disrupt and destroy the work of God. And I see it today in America. I see, I thought about this so many times. As a missionary, there's two things you get involved in that you have to be involved in. One is geography. You get to learn geography, where countries are at, where people are at, where missionaries are at. Geography, it's just part of it. The other part is politics. You say politics, yeah. You got to deal with governments. You got to deal with passports. You got to deal with government officials. You got to deal with guards. You got to deal with leaders and with all kinds of things. You know, I was in Romania right after, less than a month after Ceausescu was killed, a dictator there. And it was thrown upon me, a very unusual thing that I never expected in all of my lifetime. Ceausescu was dead, and I was in the city there in Oradea, and the mayor there, they invited us down to come down to a meeting downtown. Just, I thought, well, they want to chit-chat, they want to talk, you know, what's going on. There was no government, no officials, no guards, not anything. Everybody fled the country because they were afraid. And what they did is they sat me down in Ceausescu's television station, where he broadcast twice a week to the nation, communism, and they ask me what they should do as a country in forming a new government. And I said, I'm sitting there going, I'm Ken Sturz from AMRL. You know, I don't know how to form a government. I'm thinking real fast. But all I could tell them was, look, from a missionary standpoint, all I can say is you've got to interweave the Word of God into your government, into your society, because without that, you're going to fail. I said, there isn't any perfect dictatorship except the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he's not here to dictate right now. There's not any perfect capitalism. I said, everything has its corruption in it, and the only thing that's really going to work is for you to have the Word of God preached and have Bibles and learn the truth of the Bible and exercise that in your society. That's the only thing. That's what made America work. And we're seeing an America today that's failing, that's falling behind in that area. We're seeing an America that's losing the Word of God. They say right now, just yesterday, my wife and I were listening to news, and they said 7 out of 10 Democrats do not go to church. I went, what? 7 out of 10? Yes. Only 3 out of 10 say they regularly attend something of worship, and that's not all Christian. And you say, why are there lame, strange ideas, weird things coming up? What's a man? What's a woman? What sex are you? What do you belong to? Well, I don't know. Nobody knows. Ask the little kids, do you think you're a boy or a girl? Do you think you're did you come from Mars? Are you an alien? I mean, it's crazy what's going on. Where did that come from? It comes from a godless mindset. And then you weave into that power. There was a man named John Dalton 100 years ago. He was called Lord Acton in Great Britain. But he came up with a saying that I think is probably the most solid little saying that has ever been mouthed outside of the Bible. He said this, it is a certain thing, he said, that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you look at the world in which we live, and you look at people, and you study history, and you study what's going on in politics, and what's going on in religion. He was saying that, as a matter of fact, about the Catholic Church. That the Catholic Church, the Pope and the Cardinals, all that became very corrupt. Why? Because of their power. And you study that, and you'll find out that that's absolutely true. Power corrupts, power tends to corrupt, and it corrupts absolutely. Right now, we have elections going on in the United States. Listen, if it were not for Eastern Europe and the burden God has put upon us and in that ministry, I am deeply burdened for our country. Because I'm seeing right now the same tendency, the same road we're going down that Russia went down 100 years ago. In Russia 100 years ago, my great-grandfather, I am here today, I'm a living person standing before you because my great-grandfather served in the Russian army. You say, well, how's that? He was 6 years in the Russian army. When he got through in the army, they were fighting Japan back in the 1895 to 1900 in there. He got out of that war, and he came home, and he had a 13-year-old son, his only child. And he said, my son will not serve in the Russian army. And he said, we are going to America. And the two of them came to the United States. In fact, they moved to Kansas in 1900. And that's how my family, really, the Sturz side, got into the United States. And then time went on, and of course, I learned some things. I don't have time to tell it all to you. Some wonderful things happened, and God blessed, and my mother got saved by reading a gospel tract when she was 17. She was religious, Lutheran, but not saved. My dad got saved later on. We had a cancer operation, thought he was going to die, and he was kept out of the army during World War II, miraculously. And then later on, he had two sons, Don and Ken, and there's two more. And we became missionaries into Eastern Europe. And my dad, before he died, he had cancer. He died in 2000. And he wept. I never saw my dad weep in all of his life. But he wept, and he said, I never thought I would see the day, he said, when two of my sons would go back to the old country and take the Word of God back there for them. But he said, I'm so happy for that. Such a great answer to prayer. God answers prayer. I want to get into some scriptures tonight that have just arrested me over the years because it has to do with the way we live. You see, years ago they used to have a saying. They used to say, whatever you do when you get together, don't talk about religion and don't talk about politics. Those two things. Why? Because they cause arguments, you know. But politics is the way you're going to live your life now, and religion is the way you're going to live forever. You say, well, we don't like to call it religion. Well, the world calls it religion. Well, we like to think of it as a person who came into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, shed his blood for us. But in Isaiah chapter 32, there's some wonderful, poetic, beautiful description of what righteousness does, what Christianity does, what the Spirit of God does in a society. And it's just a marvelous thing to read it. I just pour over this and I just go, God so wonderfully wrote this down in just two verses. Isaiah 32 and verse 17 and 18. It says this about a society, about a society's people. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Wow, isn't that what we want? Isn't that the kind of society you want to live in? Isn't that the goal of any good and legitimate government, is to bring quietness and a peace and assurance? The United States has enjoyed that to a great degree over a lot of years. But that's starting to erode. And we're seeing more and more an unquietness, a disquietness. We're seeing, I said, there's two sins that are being practiced now on a wide scale. One of them is sedition. We don't hear that word much. Sedition is causing rebellion against the authority or against the government. And much of it for no reason. You could say, well, Donald Trump, you know, I don't like Trump. I don't like his attitude. He is the president. He was elected. And he's done a lot of good things. And he's a very rich man, and I don't believe he's a phony. You know why? Because he took this job upon him when he's a multi-billionaire. He didn't need that job. He's not taking the salary now. But I believe he's a patriotic American, and he wants to do as best he can to help the country. And he's done a lot of things, tried to do a lot of things to make that happen. Now, he said, well, I don't like the rhetoric. You know, he's really called down the fake news and the this and the that. Well, which part of it has he said that's not true? You know, you start looking at it and you go, wow. He spoke a lot of truth, and he does speak a lot of truth. Yeah, he's crass and he's crude about it. I don't like, but what are you going to do? How are you going to talk to these people who are cheats and liars and deceivers and lying about government officials and lying about what's going on and seemingly getting away with it because they sit in ivory towers and look down on the rest of us as being the flyover people? I mean, what kind of people are they? And he's called that down and say, but we've got a country in which if we don't pray about it a lot and we're not serious about it, we can lose what we have. In Psalm chapter 19, some more wonderful words of truth. I love this as well. And these places I mark in my Bible, I read them frequently. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Wow, there's a powerful lot of truth in there. Why? Because it's the Word of God that makes it all work. First of all, it converts the soul. You know, it makes wise the simple. Rejoices the heart. Yeah, everything is contained in there that you'd want in your heart to give you peace, to give you joy, to give you contentment. It's all there. And then he said it's more to be desired than gold. You know, we had people in Russia, in Eastern Europe, different parts of the world over there, that asked us if we could take money back with us and put it in an account for them in America. And we had a man, a Hungarian, Ferabacci was his name. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But he had $400 once. He said, could you take this back, put it in my account in Florida? Because he had been to America and he had set up an account in Florida. And we said, well, why don't you put it in the bank here in Hungary? And he said, because I may not have it tomorrow. There's so much corruption. There's so much changing of the money, changing things around. There's so much instability. He said, I may not have it. But he said, in your country, there's stability. And then they would ask us for U.S. currency. They would want, you have some $20 bills or $10 bills. Could we change some money with you? You can use the money here, our money. And then when you go back, I will have the money. And they wanted it because our currency was stable and theirs was not. One time we went to Russia. My wife, it was kind of funny at the time, but it was right at the changeover, 1990, early 90s. I think it was 1990. And we went to the border. And we wanted to change some money. And so she's looking at me, I'm looking at her. I said, well, how much do we want to change? I said, well, probably, you know, it's a little cheaper here. Things are not so expensive. Let's change about, I don't know, $80. So, okay, fine. So we give the money to the gal at the money exchange. And she starts handing out wads of rubles. I mean, this thick with rubber bands around them, wads of rubles. And I said, oh. And people are standing around looking at us like, where did you come from? And she's got this Captain Kangaroo coat on with big pockets. And so I said, put this in your pocket. So she's stuffing this money in there. Well, what happened? Their money was like 1,500 rubles to the dollar. It was devalued down. And so we had all this money. So wherever we went, we were handing out money, big stack of money to buy a meal, big stack of money to whatever you had to do. And you go, man, this is weird. Well, this is what they deal with all the time. No stability. You can't trust the government. I know one gal that said, I said, where do you keep your money? And she said, well, two reasons. She said, I have a drunken husband. And she said, I hide my money in the bed, in the mattress. And she said, and the government also, you don't want them to have it because you may not get it back if you put it in the bank. And so it's a... Another thing we noticed when we were there, we knew a missionary that built a house over there. Got his house all built. And one day he got a notice from the police that the so-called house that he owned and built, he no longer owned it. And he said, what do you mean I don't own the house? He said, I have a title. They said, no, you don't. And he said, yes, I do. I have a title. They said, well, that's worthless. And he said, why? He said, because down at the courthouse, you have no title. Somebody had bought him out, had... through, you know, extortion, had gotten rid of his title. And now they said, well, you can get a lawyer and fight it. So he had to get a lawyer and fight to try to figure out how he could keep his house. How many of you went to bed last night worrying about your title for your house down at the courthouse? Boy, on Monday morning, am I going to own my place? Or is the government going to take it away or someone else? No, because there's a stability. See, that's what that's talking about here, that we might have a stability, a peace, a joy, a contentment in all things because of godliness that works in the society. And when corruption takes over, hey, Mexico, look what happened. Some people shot dead. The cartels are taking over. It's not safe to go there. You got to watch where you go. You got to be real careful. I know a missionary that lost his truck. Got it stolen. He just happened to have a key in his pocket for his truck, and he saw it parked on the side of the road, went and unlocked it and started up his truck and took it back again. That doesn't happen very often, but that's what he was able to do. But you got to watch it all the time. We just had our ministry, our Wings ministry from our church, Wings Bearing Precious Seed, and they went down to Mexico, and while they were down there, they were eating lunch. Their van was broken into, and they had all their electronic equipment stolen. This just happened last, what, 2 weeks ago. And so things like that happen. In keeping of them, there is great reward, the statutes of the Lord. When people obey, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, don't commit adultery, all these things that stabilize a country. Listen, it's not that way everywhere in this world. Psalm 85. There's another wonderful few verses that I like to think of often regarding this. Psalm chapter 85, starting in verse 6, it says this, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I hope you're praying for revival. I am. I pray every day for revival. Revive us again. Don't give up. Don't let the devil say, "Oh, that's impossible. It can never happen." Hey, we've been in bad places before as a nation, and God gave us revival because some people prayed. "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." God wants us to be the leader and not the tail. He wants us to have glory in our country, but we've got to know where it came from. "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Mercy and truth are met together. Think about that. There can be the wrong kind of mercy. I believe right now letting all the people lay in the streets as homeless people, just letting them lay there, is not the kind of mercy we need. That's not what we need. We need some different arrangement for that kind of situation. You know what David did? I hate to tell you this. King David, loving, wonderful, beloved King David, when they said, "Well, David, when you're going up now to be the king in Jerusalem," they said, "when you go up in the streets, there's laying the sick and the lame and the blind and all of those people." And he said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" And David said, "He who goes up first and kills the lame and the blind and the sick will be chief and captain." And you go, "What?" That's what he said. Read it in the Bible. You know why he said that? Because when he did go up there, they were gone. They scattered. They got out of there because they knew he was dead serious about what he said. Sometimes it takes a heavy hand to get some things done that you can't do any other way. You say, "Well, that's cruel. That's mean." Is it any less cruel to let them multiply on the streets, to let the drug needles lay all over the place, to let them, the human excrement everywhere? You got to have a map in your city like San Francisco to walk around the areas where you have to avoid because it's so dirty and filthy that you can't go there anymore. You want to pay taxes for that? Mercy and truth are met together. We need some wisdom meeting with truth and the two going out to treat our society the way it needs to be treated to make it right. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There was an instance in the first Gulf War on the news, I don't know, CNN, one of those channels, where one of the Kuwaitis held up a Playboy magazine as the Americans went through the streets, and he said, "Thank you, America. Now I can read this magazine again." What was the matter with that? Peace came, but not righteousness. They haven't kissed each other. They haven't come together. People using peace as a license to commit sin. That's what's happening in America. James Madison said a long time ago, one of our founding fathers, he said, "Our form of government is only good for a righteous people." He says, "It's wholly inadequate for any other." And so what happens is when you can't control yourself, someone else has to control you. And that's when God lets the dictators in. And then it gets brutal. And then power corrupts and it gets terrible. But that's what happens. I was talking in the beginning of this little message. I said in Russia 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, Lenin, it was the same situation we have today. There was the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. The Mensheviks were kind of like the parliament. There was like 400 of them. And they were kind of the parliament that was, you know, kind of like our Senate and our Congress today. The people didn't like them. They thought there was a lot of corruption, and I'm sure there was. But the Bolsheviks came in, not so many of them. They weren't. Vladimir Lenin was over in Switzerland, and he came back into Russia, and he started a coup in 1911. It failed, but then in 1917, they ran another coup, and that one succeeded. And his intentions were good. You say, really? Yeah, Lenin wanted to bring the money down from the capitalists who owned everything, and he wanted to divide it up among the workers. And everybody went, "Wow, that's a great idea. That's what we need." And so they supported him. And so what he did is he killed, usually, every single factory. He killed the heads of all of these factories, And the people that were in the building, government buildings, they bayoneted a lot of them, threw them out in the streets. It was a horrible bloodbath in 1917. But he established himself, and the people were behind him. They were saying, we need to bring those capitalists down. We need to even things out. But then, you know what happened? All the smart people that ran the factories, all the people that knew what to do were gone. And all of a sudden, the workers looked at each other and went, whoa, what do we do now? Well, I don't know. And so what happens, I told you this morning, I said, Winston Churchill had it all figured out. He said, the trouble with capitalism is the unequal distribution of wealth. The trouble with communism is the equal distribution of misery. And that's what happened. So peace, righteousness, and peace did not meet together. You had wickedness and peace, and then you're going to have turmoil like we have today, and pretty soon you end up in a dictatorship is what happens. So what do we do? Well, what do we do? Daniel, look in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was one of the most godly men that walked the earth, I believe. Loved the Lord, served the Lord through four government administrations, was in high office. There's nothing bad could be said about him. They tried to get him executed, killed, you know, with the lion's den and all that thing. Lied about him, but he still hung on. And God blessed him. But Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, gives a prayer, I believe, that we today Americans should use as kind of a model for how we pray for our country today. Israel had become wicked. Israel went into 70 years captivity. Israel was in bad shape. And Daniel was a part of that captivity. And while he was there, he, I believe, sought God and tried to understand, Lord, what can be done? What can we do? And he prayed. And I believe his prayers were answered in a great way. And he starts out in Daniel chapter 9. And it says, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. They paid an awful price for their sins. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Some humble prayer in the prayer closet. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. Notice he didn't say they have sinned. He said we have sinned. And all of us are part of that. And have committed iniquity. Iniquity is willful sin. And have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. What do you got for prophets today in America? What's on the main scene? Women preachers. Women preachers. If you got cable television or whatever, look through the religious channels, you'll see woman after woman after woman claiming to be a preacher. Where are the men? Where's the preaching for God? God has taken them all away. And we need to say, Lord, you need to bring back some powerful preaching from on high. We need it so desperately. So they didn't hearken unto the servants of prophets, which spake in the name of the Lord to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. When you look at the Congress and the Senate today, what's the number one thing people think of? There's confusion. They don't know what to do. And they stand there looking at each other like, well, I don't know. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It's just like it's confusion. Well, that's what they had. And God gives it in the face of a rebellious people. As at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Now notice he's not saying, Lord, give us good presidents. Give us good senators. Give us good, godly men that'll straighten everything out for us so that we can live the way we want to live again. No, he's saying, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our iniquities, the transgressions that got us into this mess. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we observed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses. And if you want to read that in detail, you read Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's got Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, the curses and the blessings. And God delineates what will happen if you're blessed of God, and he also delineates the curses that'll come because of disobedience. Because of the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. Our pastor used to say, when you see a therefore in the Bible, you look and see what it's there for. And he said, because we sinned, because we've done evil, because we've committed wickedness, that's why it's brought upon us. Psalm 144, and then we'll be through, but Psalm 144, there's a few verses there. I'll get there in a moment. Psalm 144, in verse 11, it says, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. What's happening to America today? Strange children are coming into our country. Hillary Clinton said if she had been elected, she would bring 500,000 Muslims into our country in her first year. Thank God that didn't happen. The heathen. Bring the heathen in. Bring the Hindus in. Bring all the false religions into our country. Deliver us from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. The Muslims want you dead. You know, the only thing that's going to help them is they get saved out of the religion that they're in. That our sons may be as plants growing up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. Now, I don't know if you'd want that to happen, but you know what this is talking about. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out. One of the biggest sales of things today is security systems for homes. Why? Because we're worried about break-ins, house invasions, and all that kind of stuff. That there be no breaking in nor going out. Right now, people are leaving California by droves. Why? Because the taxation and the craziness of the government there, they're getting out of there. Idaho is filling up with people. Montana is filling up with people from California. And as California has gone, that's the way the rest of the country eventually goes. Sadly so. That there be no complaining in our streets. All you got to do is turn the television on the news and watch, and it's just complaining, 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 complaining. And after a while, you just go, I don't want to hear any more of this. There's no more news. It's just complaints. That's all it is. Happy, verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, the sad thing that I'm sad about tonight is I had to preach this to you. The choir. I mean, the people that know the Lord, that love the Lord. But we need to sometimes re-emphasize in our lives over and over again the things which are most surely believed among us. And we need to refresh ourselves. Because sometimes you listen to the world out there and they seem to, they have all these answers and all of these things they bring up. And you need to do this and do that. And we need to have good politicians. We need to, no, we need to get back to the facts of the Word of God. Amen. Confession of sin and iniquity. A prayer that God will deliver us from evil and that He'll bring us revival again. That's what we need. I'm hoping, my prayer is, a lot of people are getting sick and tired of what's going on. They're just like, wow, they're wringing their hands. It's like, oh, well, that's a good sign that they're willing now to say, hey, you know, maybe you were right. Maybe the Bible is the answer. Maybe we need to get back. And don't listen to the devil who says, no, you can't do that. Uh-uh, that's impossible. You're too far gone. You're just, you know, hey, you're going to go into a socialist dictatorship and you're just done for. No, I don't believe that. I believe we can pray and God can help us. There's enough believers. There's enough people that love the Lord in this country. If we would all unite in prayer and rise up and say, Lord God of heaven, we need your help more than ever. And God would hear us and He would send us what we need. We need conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, as Jesus said. And we need that. We need it so desperately. People yet have not seen how you know, as evil as it's become, people don't look at themselves and say, look, we are a sinful society. We are a sinful society. And it's gotten that way over a period of time. It's come in a little by little. We're like the old proverbial frog in the kettle. You know what? The heat's turned up, and he turned up, and he doesn't jump out. Why? Because he doesn't feel the heat until it's so much that it kills him. And that's kind of what's happening today in America. And we need to say, Lord, we need. Why did I preach this tonight? Why am I so concerned about this? Because I saw it in Russia. I saw it in East Germany. I saw it in Romania. I saw it in Czechoslovakia. I saw it in Yugoslavia. I saw it in all those countries over there. When they went under a dictatorship, when they ended up in a terrible, terrible form of government, horrible persecution, concentration camps, good people sent off because the Bible talks about making them an offender for a word. Right now, Donald Trump said a little phrase to the Ukrainian president, and they're making him an offender, like he's some terrible, terrible crime. Well, they can't twist it enough to make it bad enough in their lies and in their cheating and in their... But that's what happens when people become corrupt. They'll make a man an offender for a word. Remember when the vice president, Dan Quayle, was under President Reagan, and he misspelled the word potato. And they had a fit. He's not fit to be the vice president. He can't spell potato. Well, how many of you have a good job, you're intelligent, you do a good job at what you're doing, but you might put an E on potato or you might not on the end of it, and you'd misspell it? Well, does that make you a good or a bad person? No. But there are people wicked enough to say we need to throw a man out of office because he can't spell spud. You know, think about it. Hey, it's terrible. Anyway, I want you to know that I'm one that's not giving up. I'm praying for a country. I've seen it over there. Now they have a chance to have an opportunity to get the gospel. But sadly, now, you know what they want? They want American freedom. We want nice house, nice car, nice job, nice vacations. And the younger generation, the last 30 years, that didn't see the communism, they're going, oh, well, we see the old people come to a meeting and hug their Bible and sometimes weep because of the Bible that they couldn't have under communism. The young people, it's like, no, oh, yeah, take it or leave it. You know, it's just that quick. When you have too much, you get spoiled, spoiled. We need godliness. We need the Word of God, and we need to pray for it. Can we all stand tonight? And like I said, I've been preaching to the choir. I'm sorry about that, but this so bothers me. My poor wife has to listen to me preach this all the time to her. But it's so true. And we need God's help desperately.